Well, that familiar music means it's time once again for another edition of Focus on Health. It's a weekly presentation brought to you by Vandy's Medical Center, where their focus is you. I'm being joined today for the first time in I don't know how long. Lori Foster joins me here at the studio this morning. Lori, good morning to you.
Good morning to you too, Pat. Yes. Nice to be back in the studio. Yes, nice. And it has been a long time.
Yes, it has. And we have a very dear friend that's standing right beside us right now. We'll hear from Jade Williams coming up in just a few moments. And we've had her on many times here on our Focus on Health radio show. But as always, we have, I know it's kind of a cool morning out there.
It was a brisk morning.
Yes, it was. It still is too, about 35 degrees as we're doing this thing.
Yes, you're right. But a beautiful morning. I mean, driving out to the radio station, I just thought what a beautiful sunrise it was. And the fall hues as you drive out, it's really, really pretty out here. Yeah, beautiful morning.
Only time we get to see sunrise is on the weekends, but it's Monday through Fridays. I can't ever see the sunrise, but I'm sure it's a very beautiful one. Well, as I said, we got Jade Williams here. But Lori Foster, you have some stuff going on at Vandy's Medical Center, don't you?
We do. I have a few announcements to share. It's that time. It is Medicare open enrollment period now through December 7th. So every year, Medicare Part D and Medicare Advantage plans announce their changes for the next year, and Iowans on Medicare can decide if they want to change plans during this open enrollment period. Any changes made will be effective as of January 1st of the new year. The Senior Health Insurance Information Program offers assistance to review plans. At Vandy's Medical Center, we are very fortunate to have three volunteer counselors available. They can do comparisons, check your prescription drugs, make sure that you have the drugs you need. They possibly can save you money. This is a free service, and like I mentioned, the hospital is a sponsor site for SHIP. So if you have questions, if you did not receive paperwork, maybe do want to do a comparison, see if you're on the appropriate plan for you, you can call the phone number 515-832-7769. Leave your name, your phone number, and it's very helpful if you can leave a time where you might be available. One of the volunteer counselors will give a call back.
I know two of them because they're fellow classmates. We have Mr. Barnifus and also with Linda Bourne.
That is correct. Kevin Barnifus, Linda Bourne, and Joyce Gelhaus are our three volunteer SHIP counselors. They were on the program last week, and I mentioned on the program, too, not every county has SHIP counselors. And No, we are very, very fortunate. They actually do visit with clients even from other counties because there isn't a SHIP program and there aren't counselors available. So they are basically full-time from now through December 7th, and we certainly appreciate all
of that. And
that's
on a Sunday. So, again, help out. Get those numbers if you're interested for SHIP. So do it now before December 7th at Vandy's Medical Center.
That is correct.
Very good.
And I do want to mention we had some exciting news. The readers of the Fort Dodge Messenger nominated Vandy's Family Health Clinic in Fort Dodge for Best Primary Care Practice. And three of the providers also were nominated under the Best Physician category. They include Dr. John Burkett, Dr. Alan Wen, and Physician Assistant Joe Harris. The voting is now underway. You can go to messengernews.net, and there is a link to start voting. The voting will go through October 26th. We do want to congratulate those providers and also the staff at the clinic in Fort Dodge for that.
Good.
And lastly, we're going to be talking about breast cancer awareness, giving our listeners a better understanding of that. Risk factors, how you can possibly mitigate your risk factors. But I do want to mention it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we hope that women will make their health a priority. We're doing something special during the months of October and November. We're offering a drawing for those women who schedule their mammograms during either this month or next month. And it's really just our way of saying thank you for taking a moment for your health. So it's very easy to schedule a mammogram. You can call the clinic here in Webster City at 515-832-7800, or you can go online. Go to our website, vandeastmc.org. Right on the top of the homepage, there is a schedule online button, and you can schedule your mammogram at your convenience, the date and time that it works best for you. Very easy to do it. If you haven't tried it out, I encourage you to do so. So, ladies, make sure you get those mammograms scheduled today.
There you go. Just contact Vandy's Medical Center for all the information when it comes to mammograms. There.
That's right.
Okay.
And lastly, I do have to mention the nut sale is going on at the gift shop at Vandy's Medical Center. The gift shop, as people know, is really run entirely by our auxiliary. Just a terrific team, all volunteers. And they have all sorts of nuts available on sale. They'll be selling them until they run out. They make a wonderful gift. I'll share with you, 10 Thursdays left until Christmas. So this is a great Christmas item. You'll want to stock up. Make sure you stop out to the gift shop. They are opened Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
All right. And, of course, Thanksgiving. That's also coming, I believe, about six Thursdays away. But you say 10 Thursdays to go before Christmas because Christmas is on a Thursday this year.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Neat.
Crazy to think.
Yep. Well, again, thank you, Lori. We have a very special guest here. We've had her on many times talking more about when it comes to breast cancer. We have breast cancer information that people need to know about there, Lori.
That is correct. As I mentioned, yes, the month of October is mm-hmm. Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Such an important topic to be talking about. And I'm very pleased to have a physician assistant. Nurse practitioner Jade Williams joining us on the program today to talk about breast cancer. Good morning, Jade.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, Pat.
Thank you.
Nice to have you on the show.
Yes. Thank you again.
And I appreciate you talking about this topic. There are many women who do take the time and schedule their mammogram annually. However, we know there are a lot of women that do not, and we want to give them the information so that they understand breast cancer, like I said, those risk factors, how they can mitigate some risk factors, diagnosis, and treatment of breast cancer. So I very much appreciate you being on the show today. Maybe a great place to start is just talking about what is breast cancer.
Yeah, so as Lori mentioned, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so just a real basic overview of what breast cancer is. It's a disease where the cells in the breasts basically grow out of control, and these abnormal cells can form a lump or tumor and may spread to other parts of the body if untreated. It can occur in both women and men, and though it's far more common in women. So most common cancer worldwide in women, in the U.S. alone, about 1 in 8 will be diagnosed in their lifetime. The American Cancer Society reports that a woman's lifetime risk of being diagnosed with invasive breast cancer is about 1 in 8 or 13%. And in 2025, the recent figures are forecasting approximately 316,950 cases of invasive breast cancer in U.S. women alone. So that's a fairly staggering number. Men account for about 1% of breast cancer cases. The American Cancer Society and other organizations estimate there'll be around 2,800 new cases of invasive breast cancer in men. So who is at risk? And really with that, we have to look at modifiable and non-modifiable risk factors. So the things that we don't necessarily have control over is our non-modifiable. And this would be your gender. Women are 100 times more likely to develop breast cancer than men. Age, of course, we tend to think about diagnosis being in women 50 and over. But as everyone, you know, you may be aware, we've been seeing much more cases diagnosed in younger women. So age isn't necessarily just for those 50 and over. Family history, having a close relative with breast or ovarian cancers, genetics such as the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene mutations, and then, of course, any personal history. So a prior breast cancer or certain non-cancerous breast conditions can increase your risk as well. Modifiable, so things that we have control over, would be things like your alcohol use, obesity, especially after menopause, lack of physical activity. You know, the current recommendations are 150 minutes of moderate exercise with 2 strength training sessions a week, Hormone replacement therapy during menopause, and this is also a real hot topic right now, but there's still, you know, most recently there was a meta-analysis in 2019 that found that women who used combined estrogen and progestin therapy for 5 to 14 years did have an increased relative risk for breast cancer. So, you know, a great place to look if you are considering hormone replacement therapy would be cancer.gov or the American Cancer Society to see what's out there. And then you can discuss those with your primary provider.
Exactly. And I was just going to say that would be that's such an important topic to talk about with your primary care provider and reviewing what your family history is and then what those options may be depending on your personal health history.
Right, because right now, you know, the big movement is for hormone replacement therapy, which is great, but it's not necessarily everybody being a candidate for that because of certain conditions or risk factors that you may have. So making sure you have that conversation with a trusted medical professional is really the best place to start for that.
Right, and I'm so glad you touched on that, Jade, because I'm just speaking from personal experience. I do have family history of that, and I too have read a lot about hormone replacement therapy, but in talking with a primary care physician and an oncologist that I had access to, I definitely am, you know, I'm not a good candidate for that. And so, I mean, those are really important conversations to have, again, depending on your family history and your risk.
Right. One cancer I didn't mention for family history is actually prostate cancer. So if you have a family history of breast, ovarian, and prostate cancer, those are all risk factors that do increase your risk. And those have been studied and shown to have a more than likelihood of a genetic mutation of the BRCA1 or BRCA2. So if a woman has breast cancer and they are positive for one of those gene mutations, then the males in the family should also be evaluated as well. So just an extra tidbit there.
Very good point to mention. Thank you.
So then also thinking about when you've had children in your lifespan, you know, we tend to be seeing women having children at what is considered an older age or after the age of 30, you know, for whatever reasons that may be, career, education, establishment, and choosing or not choosing to breastfeed. Those are other modifiable risk factors to think about. So if family planning is in your future, another good time to have a conversation with your provider as well. So then how would we diagnose breast cancer? You know, as Lori mentioned, getting those primary screenings in, mammograms are our gold standard. And mammograms are really just a low-dose x-ray that can detect cancer before the symptoms may appear. They look for early signs of breast cancer, often years before a lump can be felt, and they're considered the most effective screening tool available for detecting breast cancer early. Recommendations are yearly or every 2 years for women age 40 to 74, depending on your risk factors. The recommended frequency of a mammogram in women varies from different health organizations, and this is important to understand. So the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, which is they kind of oversee and grade how we determine what is appropriate for preventative and health maintenance. They recommend that screening every 2 years for women with average risk, while other groups like the American Cancer Society and American College of Radiology recommend yearly mammograms, especially for women ages 45 to 54. So this is where we get those conflicting recommendations. Mm-hmm. And so once again, an important conversation to have with your provider and see where you fit in. So personal risk factors play a major role in determining the ideal screening schedule. Self-exams and clinical breast exams also help with awareness but aren't substitutions for mammograms. Unfortunately, the recommendation was issued in 2009 by the U.S. Task Force and the American Academy of Family Physicians to not teach patients how to do self-breast exams and to not encourage it, but instead to make your patients more more breast self-awareness. But, you know your body best. Mm-hmm. And so realistically, I still encourage patients to do those monthly breast exams after you've showered and you're nice and relaxed. And if you do happen to notice something or have an area of concern, definitely bring it to your provider. Also to think about, you know, we recommend that that risk assessment be completed. And this is why it's so important to have a primary care provider established by the age of 25, because you should develop a breast cancer risk assessment with your doctor. That should actually be part of your just regular health maintenance that you would have with your primary care. And they can determine where you're at for that risk assessment and determine if you have a strong family history or that genetic predisposition and may need to start screenings more frequently or earlier based off of your risks, mm-hmm. basically. So diagnostics, you know, typically we tend to think of the core biopsy or needle biopsy. But also if we do tend to find something abnormal on your mammogram, then we may recommend a breast MRI as well. So what are those symptoms that we're looking for? Typically a lump in the breast or under your arm, change in size or shape of your breast, any dimpling or puckering of the skin or a texture like orange peel, inverted nipple or pain in the nipple area, discharge from the nipple, especially if it's bloody, and then redness or flaky skin. So early breast cancer often has no symptoms, mm-hmm. and that's why screening is so critical.
Yeah, and I'm so so glad that you did mention that, because quite often it does present with no symptoms, and so a woman might have no idea at all.
Right, mm-hmm. absolutely. So treatment options, this is where it can get real confusing, and it really just depends on the patient, especially as treatment becomes so specific mm-hmm. and so tailored, which is great, actually, in the long term of the management of cancers. But typically, you might hear that surgery is a recommendation, but it's going to depend on the type and stage of cancer as well as individual factors. So surgery could include a lumpectomy where they just remove the tissue, or tumor, or a mastectomy where they remove the entire breast. Radiation therapy, this is where they use those high energy rays to kill the cancer or the cells left after surgery. Chemotherapy, which uses the drugs to kill cancer cells or stop them from growing. There's also hormone therapy for cancers. These would be hormone receptor positive, so thinking of your estrogen and progesterone driven cancers. And then target therapy, where it's specific to the cancer cell markers. This is more so in those HER2-positive cancers. And then immunotherapy, where they actually help the body's immune system recognize and attack the cancer cells.
And actually, I mean, it could be even a combination of
absolutely
those.
Yes. So these are just kind of the things that might mm-hmm. be on the table. But, you know, just discussing kind of the top four common mm-hmm. types of breast cancer, that ductal carcinoma in situ, this is going to be the non-invasive early stage that's not spread outside of the milk ducts. But in regards to treatment, this is typically going to involve surgery as well as radiation therapy. Mm-hmm. If a patient has been diagnosed with invasive ductal carcinoma, this is going to be the most common type, typically seen in 80% of invasive cancers. This starts in the milk ducts and spreads to the surrounding breast tissue. And then treatment for this was going to be staging and type dependent. And treatment could involve surgery, chemo, radiation, and long-term hormone mm-hmm. therapy. Invasive lobular carcinoma. So this is the second most common type of invasive breast cancer. This originates in the lobules or the milk-producing glands rather than the ducts. And this treatment's going to be much similar to the IDC, although it's going to be more tailored to the specific characteristics of that cancer. And then your triple negative breast cancer. So this one's harder to treat. It's more aggressive, an aggressive type of invasive breast cancer. That the reason it's called triple negative is because it tests negative for your estrogen, progesterone, and HER2 protein. So that's how they come up with that, it being triple okay. negative. It doesn't have the typical characteristics that we are able to target. But treatment for this is going to typically have chemotherapy involved, and it can be more challenging to treat. But, you know, it really just depends on what you and your oncologist develop for a plan. Mm-hmm. So being open and honest with your oncologist about the things that you, you know, are open to trying, because even though this is a definite scary time of your life, it's the oncologist's job to provide you with what your options are and then develop a plan from there. But, you know, most oncologists, they're not going to recommend something unless it's going to provide you, you know, a much better chance at a longevity and management of your disease process.
Right.
So,
right.
So can breast cancer be prevented? You know, this is really the biggest question. Yes. What do we do, or how do we reduce our risk as much as possible, especially when it seems like it's such a common thing anymore we're hearing about? So you can't eliminate your risk completely, but there's ways to lower it. So thinking about those lifestyle choices, like staying physically active, aiming for those 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week, strength training twice a week, trying to maintain a healthy weight within, you know, 5 to 10 pounds, realistically, limiting your alcohol intake. There are studies that support that increased alcohol intake could be one of the driving forces for the increase in cancers. Not smoking, as you know, this creates free radicals and difficult for your body to break down and get rid of. Breastfeeding if possible, and then, you know, avoiding unnecessary hormone therapies. So I'm not recommending that what's being put out there about the hormone replacement therapy is, you know, off the table for everybody, because we know that there's good data out there to support the use of it. Mm-hmm. But you have to think about, there's endocrine disruptors all the time in everything that we do in our environment, whether it's from building materials to what we're putting in and on our body. And so those are things that our body has to kind of compensate for. Mm-hmm. And then if we're putting something else in there that could be an endocrine disruptor or cause changes in our hormones, this can theoretically increase your risk for developments of cancer. So once again, just having a good conversation with your provider and seeing what your options really are and what would benefit you best or give you the best ability to live a long, healthy life.
Right.
So high-risk prevention, you know, that's going to be with the women that have those BRCA mutations, and really typically we'll see more frequent screening, so MRIs, mammograms, genetic counseling, and then some women may even opt for mastectomies or oophorectomies to help mitigate that risk or development. And then, you know, the fun part is really what's new then in research.
Right.
And there's so much. I actually was just listening to a specialized oncologist, and he was saying that, you know, cancers, especially breast cancer, they feel like there is the ability to have an actual cure for in upcoming years. You know, he didn't necessarily identify how many years, but and that, you know, even stage 4, so metastatic breast cancers, women are able to live a very long, healthy, fulfilling life. You know, mm-hmm. some women are working and they have, you know, metastatic breast cancer. So mm-hmm. just keeping that in mind that we've come a long way. So target therapy, doctors use biomarkers, testing to identify specific gene or protein changes in those cancer cells. And they can select treatments that are more likely to work for the patient's specific type. Genetic risk assessment, so really testing for that BRCA1 and BRCA2, helping the doctors to personalize your screening as well as prevention plans in those high-risk individuals. Liquid tissue biopsies, this is really exciting in many areas of cancer, but a liquid tissue biopsy is just a simple blood test that can analyze your cancer-related biomarkers that's shed by your tumor and then looks for circulating tumor DNA. So right now we see a lot of use of these in patients who need guided treatment with metastatic or advanced breast cancer or colon cancer. And then they can reveal mutations like the ESR1 or PIK3CA, allowing the doctors to choose a targeted therapy more quickly than with a tissue biopsy itself. And then future potential for this is research is underway to use these liquid tissue biopsies to screen for cancer in its early stages and to detect minimal residual disease after treatment. In 2025, researchers reported promising trial results showing that the circulating tumor DNA can be used to identify breast cancer survivors who may have dormant cancer cells mm. and that treating these cells may prevent reoccurrence. Mm-hmm. So like myself, while I don't have a history of breast cancer, I had ovarian and we are using liquid tissue biopsy in my care plan. And so I get tested every 3 months, you know, but it's just another tool. Mm-hmm. So like in my case, we're looking for the residual disease after treatment. So definitely exciting.
Yes.
And then, of course, AI, you know, that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to see it used as a tool to assist radiologists. So AI is being integrated into breast cancer imaging to enhance the accuracy and efficiency or the detection of it, which is really exciting. And then clinical trials. So testing for vaccines, new immunotherapies and ways to prevent reoccurrence. Vaccine research has been noted to be promising. Mayo Clinic has been doing a lot of research with yes. this, which is very exciting. And then thinking about ways to develop and what they are doing to help train that immune system to attack those cancer cells. And then common immunotherapies, things that you may have heard of, like Keytruda. This is a checkpoint inhibitor that's been FDA approved for certain types of breast cancer, particularly early and metastatic triple negative. So that's really exciting as well. And then that reoccurrence prevention, you know, what clinical trials are they doing and helping with investigating several strategies to prevent reoccurrence for patients, thinking about how they can attack those dormant cancer tumor cells that haven't necessarily fully developed and exploring lifestyle changes to help the patient. So what can you do today? Right?
Yes.
It's a lot of information.
Today and moving forward, what can you do?
Yeah. So know your family history. A family history of breast or ovarian cancer can increase your personal risk. So understanding your family's medical history is an important step in assessing your risk. Talking to your doctor about screening, especially if you're 40 or high risk, and a crucial step for early detection, if you're at average risk, really getting those annual mammograms at 45. And if you're at high risk, visiting with your primary to start earlier. And then thinking and knowing that it's a shared decision-making process. And so you and your provider can help determine what's the best screening plan for you. Making healthy lifestyle choices and taking steps to minimize or lower your risk, such as maintaining that healthy weight, being physically active, limiting your alcohol intake and avoiding tobacco products, supporting breast cancer awareness and research, and encouraging your loved ones to get screened. And then, you know, early detection is key to a successful treatment, so encourage your friends and family to get screened as well. And then, you know, early detection really just saves lives. So breast cancer is common, but with awareness and screening and treatment, survival rates have become higher, and mm-hmm. especially when it's found early.
Absolutely. So. Can't say it enough. Early detection saves lives. And if you don't know your family history, take time, have those discussions with your mom, your grandmother. That is helpful information. With the holidays coming up, there's a chance there too, just to have those discussions so that you know that information is power. And that way you can share that with your primary care provider and discussing options going forward. So, Jade, such an important topic Thanks. To be talking about. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
And to all of the women out there, we encourage you, make your health a priority. If you haven't scheduled your annual mammogram, do that today. You've heard the program. It's a phone call away. You can call Van Deese Family Health Clinic at 515-832-7800 or go online to vandeestmc.org to schedule that mammogram. Do it today. Do it for yourself.
All right. Again, Lori Foster and Jade Williams, thank you for joining us today. So again, if they want more information, call 832-7800 or visit the Van Deese Medical Center website at vandeestmc.org.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else for the good of the cause, ladies?
That's it for today.
All right. Sounds good. Jaden and Lori, thanks very much.
Thank you, Pat.
Absolutely. And that does it for Focus on Health, brought to you every Wednesday at this time by Van Deese Medical Center, where their focus is you.